What's up, guys? Pastor John here. We pray that this message encourages you in your faith journey, and we believe that God has an incredible plan for your life, and our hope is that tools like this sermon will help you become who He has created you to be. Now listen, in order to truly flourish and thrive like God intends for your life, it takes community. What I mean by that is we don't believe that simply by attending church online alone that you're going to be able to become every bit of who God has created you to be and who you want to be. To grow spiritually, you need other people, and we would love to help you connect with other people right here at Greenhouse. True growth happens when we're rooted in a community that supports, uplifts, and walks alongside us. And so with that in mind, we would love for you to join us in person on Sundays right here at Western High School or in microchurches throughout the week. Listen, if you don't live near our church here in South Florida, please reach out to us. We would love to help you find and thrive in a local faith community near you. We're excited to partner with you as we all become passionate followers of Jesus. God bless you. Hey, last week, Kyle did an excellent job talking about God's heart for this world. How many of you liked that? Listen to that. Wasn't that awesome? Amazing job. Talking about our call to evangelism, sharing the good news, and our identity as His witnesses. This week, I want to dive into the very practical how. If last week was about who we are as His witnesses, this week is about the practical how we do that. I'm going to read Acts chapter 8, verse 1. It says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, you remember, Jesus said to them, hey, you're going to go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. But guess what? People like comfort. And we stay in our comfort zones often until we are forced to go. And they were finally forced to go. Godly men buried Stephen. You remember this Saul, this murderous religious terrorist. God gets a hold of him. He becomes Paul. But he's Saul. He began to destroy the church at that point, going from house to house, dragging off men and women, putting them in prison. Now, listen to this. And those who had been scattered preached the word. Everybody say, wherever. Those who had been scattered. Remember what Jesus said. You're going to go, and wherever you go, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, you're going to do it. But they didn't do it until they had to do it. And then when they're scattered, they preach the word. Everybody say, wherever they went. If the call from last week is a reminder of our identity as His witnesses, as those who share, who have experienced the good news in us, and it becomes the good news through us, this week is, what does that look like? And in a book of Acts, here's what it looked like to be His witnesses. It was every person in every place. Turn to your neighbor and say, it was you. Turn back to him and say, it was you. It was every person in every place. Let me pray for us. Lord, would you stir our hearts? A building is a building, and it's amazing to celebrate what you're doing. But your church is your people. Help us to be who you've called us to be as you send us to do that in a different space. And would you particularly help us to do that this week? In Jesus' name, all God's people said. You ever known someone who just couldn't stop talking about their thing? Like whatever their thing was, maybe you are that person, like whatever their thing was, they just couldn't stop talking about their thing. Maybe it was their hobby. Maybe for you or for them, it was cars. Maybe it was knitting. Maybe it was culinary. Maybe, I don't know where knitting came from. Maybe it was Pokemon. I don't know what your thing is. Have you ever known someone, like you barely have to give them an excuse and they're off talking about the thing yet again, pickleball, whatever it is. There it is. Our son, Liam, he's 8 years old and this boy loves bugs. Loves bugs. Any bug, no, you're like, but anyone as a kid remember the bug thing? All right, right now he's like, what are you doing? What do you want to do when you grow up, Liam? He's like, I want to be an entomologist. I'm like, I had to look up, is that a fiscally, like, you know, responsible, doable career? And lo and behold, you actually can make money doing it. I'm like, sweet, entomology it is, you know? But Liam loves bugs. He actually has found out, to my wife's utter chagrin, that Nancy is terrified of cockroaches. She believes that all, you know, every good and perfect gift comes from God, but cockroaches are from the devil. She's convinced anybody else join her with that. And so my son, he'll try to catch little bugs and beetles or he'll have pretend ones. He'll try to mess with her. It's great. She loves it so much. But Liam loves bugs. There's a good chance if they spent any outside time today in kids' church, he has found a bug already. Some of you are like, I've seen quite a few bugs at Western High School. All right, chill. All right, leave that alone. He just loves bugs. You don't have to ask him. All you got to do is
barely crack open the door, and he's going to rattle off the facts, and he's going to talk to you about the largest beetle that there exists and what sort of how far a dragonfly can fly and what the, he's just going to, he loves bugs because this is what humans do. Maybe for you it's not bugs, whatever your thing might be. When we love something, we can't help but tell other people. Some of y'all are foodies. All it needs to be, people don't even need to be talking about food. It just needs to be lunchtime on a clock. And you're like, oh man, you're probably hungry right now. I got to tell you about this spot. Like, we just do this as people. When we love something, when we've experienced something good, enjoyable, pleasing, life-giving, we love to tell others. It's what humans do. So why don't Christians do this with Jesus in the gospel? It's sort of the challenge that we talked about last week, right? It's something like 90 to 95% of Christians, depending on the statistician that you look at, have never gotten a chance to do what Jesus said we're supposed to do. Go and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey. And it kind of goes with tracking with the logic that 80% of Christians don't regularly or consistently share their faith and talk about Jesus with others. Why? I know our tribe. I know you guys love people. You love God. You care. Often we don't do it, or we struggle to do it consistently because we don't understand the why. Kind of what Kyle talked about last week, God's heart for humanity and his love for people and his compassion for others, the good news about Jesus and the bad news about sin and destruction. And that's on one hand. But on the other hand, we want to. Maybe this week you're like, man, I get it. John, I want to do this. And you went out of Sunday, fueled up. You're like Tim Tebow after the loss. You will never see another Christian be more passionate about Jesus, right? Go Gators. They won the national championship. Doesn't matter, but whatever. Doesn't matter. I don't care. Some of you guys care. You know, I'm very spiritual. I don't care, but just in case. But you walked out of here. You're like, yes, I'm going to do it. And then Monday rolls around. You're like, I want to do it. I have no clue where to start. I just don't know how. This week is about the how. This week answers a question. I'd love to share my faith. I'd love to talk to people about God. I mean, it's the most life-changing thing that's ever happened to me. Anybody else? You're like, what? Jesus is like the best thing I've ever experienced. But I feel so, fill in the blank, ill-equipped, scared, nervous. I don't know where to start. Here's my premise. The early church thrived at this. Every person, every place, everyone, everywhere. The early church thrived at this because they had simple, repeatable habits. There were some things that they just did that became a part of who they were. And there are some things I'm praying that we begin to do that just become a part of who we are. I'm going to share three specific ones today to either start, or maybe for some of us, it's to restart doing. And the first one is to know your testimony. Turn to your neighbor and say, know your testimony. I've got a special guest who's going to help me with this one. Can you give wild applause for Andrew Wilson, the microchurch leader of the Tamarack Microchurch, to share about sharing your testimony.
Thank you, John. So there was a time in my life when I was very selfish and insecure. And then I put my trust in Jesus, and I received his forgiveness in my life. And now I'm more at peace, and I have a desire to love God and to love people. Do any of you have a story like that? Yes. I'm sure you do. So what I just shared was my 15-second testimony. And I'll take some time to break that down in a moment. But as John alluded to, each of us have a story. And your personal testimony is powerful because it demonstrates that God has the power to change lives. And our testimony is simply a story that contrasts our old life and our new life in Christ. Now, that being said, one of our biggest mistakes when we are sharing our testimony is that we end up sharing way too much detail. You know, if you're in line at the grocery store and you get up to the cashier, you're not going to have 45 minutes to go over your whole life story. And trust me, like, I know, like, our lives are interesting and God has done a lot, but there are many moments when either the listener or the moment will not lend itself for you to be able to share that much detail. So what I want to do today is to model the 15-second testimony. I want to teach it to you all as a tool for you to be able to use as you witness to others. And the goal of this is for you to be able to share your story in a clear and concise way. So I'm going to model it one more time, and then we're going to take some time to break down each part of it. So there was a time in my life when I was very selfish and insecure, and then I put my trust in Jesus, and I received his forgiveness in my life, and now I'm more at peace, and I have a desire to love God and to love people. Do you have a story like that? All right. So there are five parts to the 15-second testimony tool, and you'll want to take some notes at this point because we'll start breaking them down. So the first part is what is known as the intro. This is your introduction. And so it's a simple statement where you state, there was a time in my life when. All right, say it with me. There was a time in my life when. What's good about that statement is that it's simple, and it's a versatile statement that can be used at almost any point in a conversation. There was a time in my life when. That's all you have to say for your intro. On to the next section. The second part of your 15-second testimony will be your description of your life before Christ. So this is where you're going to want to think of two words or maybe a short phrase that describes your life before you met Jesus. So for me, what I noted was that there was a time in my life when I was selfish and insecure. So all you need to do is come up with one or two words or a short phrase that would characterize your life before you met Jesus. And boom, you have the first two parts of your 15-second testimony. Now, the third piece of your 15-second testimony is going to be where you highlight your encounter with Jesus. This part is extremely important because it illustrates that Jesus is the reason and the source of change in your life. What I stated was that there was a time in my life when I was selfish and insecure, and then I put my trust in Jesus, and I received his forgiveness in my life. That was my encounter. The exact words that you use can be different, but just make sure it's authentic and make sure that you are highlighting Jesus as the reason for the change in your life. The fourth part of our 15-second testimony is going to be the section where you describe your life after Christ. So here is where you're going to want to think of two words or another phrase that would characterize your life after you met Jesus. And so what I noted is that I found myself more at peace, and now I have a desire to love God and to love people. All you need to do, pray, think, reflect, and think about what characterizes your life now and how has Jesus changed your life, and that'll be the fourth part of your 15-second testimony. Now, lastly, the ending of the 15-second testimony is a question. And this is where you want to ask, do you have a story like that? What's awesome about this is that what this does is it invites the person that you're talking to and invites them into the conversation to be able to share their own experience. And this is pretty powerful because I've even noted, like, when I've talked to people over the years, that when you give them a chance to talk, when you give them a chance to, you know, share their story, and you make them feel heard and listened to and cared for, they'll be much more likely to hear what you're saying and heed what you're saying. And I actually have a cool story. So a few weeks ago, I was at my job, and the Lord actually gave me a cool opportunity to share my testimony with one of my coworkers. So it was a typical day at the office. I work in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and I was heading downstairs just to take a break and get some fresh air, and I saw one of my coworkers outside. His name was Tarek, and so I waved at him, and he waved back, and then he started coming over, and we started striking up a conversation. He loves to talk about anime, so we started talking about the newest animes, and I noted that I would be like going to Japan soon, so we started talking about Japanese culture, we're talking about Western culture, Eastern culture, how they're different. And as he was describing like what he thought about like American culture, he said something. He was like, man, like I feel like the people here are really mean and selfish. And when he said the word selfish, I was like, it kind of reminds me of myself. And at that moment, I felt the Spirit like just say, hey, this is your time to share your testimony with Tarek. And so I said, hey, man, well, you know, there was a time in my life when I was very selfish and I was insecure. And then I put my trust in Jesus and I received his forgiveness in my life. And now I'm more at peace and I have a desire to love God and love people. Do you have a story like that? And after sharing that testimony and asking him the question, like I kid you not, like he really opened up. He began to tell me about his life, the things he, you know, used to do. And he also opened up about his spirituality. He told me that he was a Muslim, and I got to really have a good, like, genuine conversation with him about Jesus, the Bible, the Quran, like, history. And it was awesome. And what this question and this testimony allowed me to do with Tarek is it deepened our relationship, and it also gave me more clarity on how I could pray for him going forward. So, again, like, the last question in this testimony is extremely important because it gives that person a chance to speak as well. So, as far as the 15-second testimony goes, those are the 5 steps. If you have any questions, feel free to come up to me or John or Kyle, and we'll be able to help you out. But I do want to end by sharing one of my most favorite stories in the Bible that demonstrates how powerful a testimony can be. And this story, it comes from John chapter 4. It's the story of the woman at the well. And in this story, there is a woman from Samaria who has an encounter with Jesus. And after this encounter with Jesus, she goes back to her town of Samaria, and she begins to tell the whole town these very words. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Literally 11 words. And you want to know what the scriptures say? The scriptures state that many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of that woman's testimony. You see, she didn't really say a lot, but the impact and the fruit of her testimony led to the salvation of many, many souls. And so my prayer and my hope for each of you is that God would use your specific story to lead to the salvation of many, many souls in your life. So that's all I have.
Come on, church. Wild applause for Andrew Wilson. I love it. Here's what we're not trying to do. Make you a evangelism robot and give you a new thing to do with people. All right, don't be weird. But you have something to say now. If you're like, I want to. I don't know where to say. There was a time in my life when, right? It just gives you a starting point. And the ending of it gives an invitation that you're not looking to be a jerk who just preaches religious stuff at people and says peace out and throws your little religious grenade and walks away. You actually want to hear about their story too. And it's an opportunity for God to move. There was a time in my life when you're like, man, that was great. I didn't get to catch all of it. Then you need to do discipleship training. The next time we do it in the fall, when we take a whole session to take some time, DT grad, shout out. You had a cool opportunity to experience that. Yeah. All right, first one is know and then learn to share your testimony, your story. Here's a second tool, simple, easy, reproducible tool that can just become a habit, is to pray for and with people. To pray for and with people. This is what Paul says in Timothy. He says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for who? For who? Who's supposed to be prayed over? Everybody. All people. Kings, those in authority, everybody. That we can live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And here's the why behind it. For God, it's good and pleases God who wants all people. There it is again. Even my, yep. Even that, yep. All people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is one of the things that the Book of Acts community, remember we talked about wanting to be, longing to be, praying to be a Book of Acts church in the 21st century. And we said, if you want to experience Book of Acts realities, you must devote yourself, reorient your life around Book of Acts priorities. This was one of their priorities. All the time, everywhere they're going, they're sharing about Jesus and they're praying for people. Remember Acts 3? It's Peter and it's John and they're on their way to church. They're doing their thing. It's called temple back then. They're on their way to a corporate worship gathering. And on the way there, there's a man begging on the side of the road. They encounter a homeless dude. And he's like, yo, hit me up with some change. They're like, we don't have any money. You're like, we could be a Book of Acts church in the 21st century. We don't have any money. They said, but here's what we do. In Jesus' name, get up and walk. And you know what happened? In Jesus' name, he gets up and walks. God does a miracle. And he begins to move. All started with them having a heart of compassion and being willing to pray. Last week, I think it was Zach Colley's birthday. Zach Colley, worship director, shout out for Zach. Zach's amazing. Zach's been one of my closest friends for a really long time. One of the things that I love about Zach, that if you've gotten to know him, the dude just loves Jesus. Like, he's not just some crusty, stale, professional Christian. He loves Jesus, and that fire in his heart is genuine. It's one of the things I love about Zach. You get together with him, and it stirs you up to love God. So we're there. I took him out to birthday lunch, and so we're birthday lunch last week, the day after his birthday, and when we walk up to the cashier, I just got that little, like, do-do-do-do-do-do that God's wanting to do something. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you don't know exactly what, you don't know exactly how, but it's the Holy Spirit is what it is, and I'm just like, God wants to do something. So we order the food, and we sit down, and I know Zach's always game for little adventures with Jesus, so I'm like, he'll be cool with this. Happy birthday, Jesus, you know, Zach, and Jesus, here we go. And so I'm like, Lord, if she comes and brings us our food, it's go time, right, that little fleece, because I'm not a superhuman, I'm just a dude. It's like, Lord, if she comes, and, you know, so guess what happens? She didn't bring the food. No, I'm just playing. She brought the food. So she brings the food. And I was like, all right. And I said, hey, Aaliyah. My name's John. This is my buddy Zach. We're celebrating his birthday. What's your name? She says, my name's Aaliyah. I said, it's great to meet you, Aaliyah. Hey, and I did the thing that my dad always used to do that drove me nuts. Because this is what parents do. And then we do the things that our parents always used to do, right? We would always pray for waiters and waitresses for the food. It's just a very organic way to be honest about what you're already going to do, right? You're going to thank God for the food. So just include them in the prayer. So I said, hey, we're about to thank God for the food. It's my buddy's birthday. Is there anything we can pray for you for? She's like, oh, that'd be great. Which, by the way, has been my overwhelming response in this season more than any other season epoch I've ever experienced. That'd be great. So she looks to see if anyone else is waiting to order, and they're not. The angel held them outside the door, right? So she's free. And she's like, I was like, well, how could we pray? And she said, well, it's been a hard season for my family. My mom just had a stroke, and she just begins to share from the heart. She starts getting teary-eyed. And we're right there at the table, just having some birthday lunch, and all of a sudden, heaven shows up. She's like, and now I'm having to work to provide for my younger siblings, and it's just been a really difficult season. And so Zach, we just start leaning in with her, talking about, well, this is not a coincidence, and God cares about you, and he loves you. And we just start talking to her, and we said, hey, we're going to pray with you. So we pray with her right there. We're like, man, we might as well. So we give her an invite card. We're like, hey, listen, we go to a church. We think you'd love it. It's great people. You should come on Easter. You're probably not working. She's like, oh, that'd be great. So we give her an Easter invite card. It was this whole thing that started out of something as simple as, hey, we're about to thank God for the food. Can we pray for you for anything? It's not complicated. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. It's praying for people. Pray for coworkers and pray for neighbors and pray for Uber drivers. Like, it's been wild in this season. Ask an Uber driver, hey, thanks so much for giving me a ride. Can I pray for you for anything? It's astounding to me the percentage of them that say, thank you so much. Because we overestimate the simplicity of prayer. For us, some of us in this room, you know Jesus. You're like, oh, it's just dad. It's just God. Like, I can talk. We can boldly approach his throne of grace to find mercy and help in our time of need because we know that. For most people, they're like, but you got to end with the big man upstairs? Heaven, yeah, pray for me. I'd love that. I'd love some prayer. And this seemingly simple thing activates on earth as it is in heaven. People are open to it. And I would add, in addition to praying with people, start praying for people as well. We've got these VIP cards. We had this one. There's some out on the table in the lobby area on your way out if you want to grab one. But this is something that we do when it's Easter, when it's not Easter. They're different cards or different sizes. But it's just for VIP, very important people. All right, it's an acronym. Not everyone knows that, I realize. Very important people. And they're just people that you love, that you like, that you care about, that you're like, I actually want to be with you for eternity. I think you're awesome. And so I'm going to pray for you every single day that God would bless you. And move in your life and show you how much he cares for you and how much he loves you. Because my experience has been, often, if we're not careful, we've all had people come up and talk to us about God, and it was pretty clear they didn't care nothing about us, and we're not quite sure what they actually even felt about God. They were just religious. And then you're probably here because someone else approached you and it was very different. And often we are not ready to talk to people about God until we've talked to God about people. This is just a simple tool. There's nothing magical about this. Just like the 15-second testimony, it's just a simple tool to get you started in a direction where you say, God, life is hard, life is busy, life is challenging, life is distracting. I get so caught up, John, in my stuff, I sometimes forget all this is going to be gone at some point, and it's going to be me and Jesus for eternity. It's going to be all good. That's not everyone's story, though. And so as I begin to pray for specific people in my life every single day, that God would bless them and work in their lives and encounter them in very real, meaningful, and personal ways, he begins to work in their lives, and guess what? He begins to work in mine as well. And my heart begins to soften, and my heart begins to shift, and I begin to get God's heart for people, because that's where it has to begin. Number one, know and share your testimony. What do I do, John? I care. I want to be a witness. I want to do this. I know God so loves the world. I know what he did in my life. I want to do it. Where do I start? Know and share your testimony. There was a time in my life when I was whatever you were. Pray for and with people. And lastly, number three, be a bringer. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a bringer. Be a bringer. It's probably a made-up word, probably not a real word, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Be someone who brings someone. I am here with Jesus because of the grace of God and a friend named Mike Kaler who just kept inviting me and wouldn't give up. I was not an easy invite, cussed him out multiple times before I finally said yes and showed up to church high as a kite. Sorry, Mom. But Jesus got a hold of me because I wasn't looking for him. But guess what? He was looking for me. And he used a very ordinary person named Mike to extend the invitation and bring me. We see this all throughout the scriptures. Andrew talked about it. I had this in my notes. We didn't even collaborate on it. But in John chapter 4, we get the woman at the well. You're like, what would I even say? I don't know enough. I don't know the whole Bible. Who do you think knows the whole Bible in here? You're like, well, I don't know. I only know a little bit. Here's what I'll tell you something you are an expert at. You. Do you know what God did in your life? Yeah, tell that. That's all this woman did, woman of the well. Bible scholars and theologians believe that she was a single genesis point for God reaching and bringing revival in an entire region from this adulterous woman who was living out her mind. One encounter with Jesus. What did she do? She just said, hey, I met somebody. He's incredible. You need to come and meet this man, Jesus. People said, okay. I can see it's real in your eyes. I can hear it in your voice. When you really care, when it's real in your heart, people sense it. Because of the age of the internet, we have had to develop a very fluent boulder dash meter. We know when people are just saying something versus when it's alive in their heart. Be a bringer. Mark chapter 2, there's these four friends. My buddy Ryan wrote a song about it. And they have this friend, and he's paralyzed in his body. He cannot get to Jesus. They've heard the stories about how he's a healer and he's a miracle worker, but he cannot get there in and of himself. And so he has four friends that literally carry him to Jesus, lower him down from the roof, because they had decided in their heart, if I can just get my friend who I love and care about in the room with Jesus, everything can change. And friends, he is the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. And for some of us in our stories, we know, we've experienced it. If I can just get my friend in the room next week, everything can change. Because that's what he does. We put in your hand these invite cards. This this and Christmas are the two biggest Sundays, and this one might be the biggest one, where overwhelmingly and statistically people say, man, I'm open to God, I'm open to faith, I'm open to spirituality. Most people at this point are no longer atheists, they're agnostics, because science has showed us there's a lot we don't know. And overwhelmingly what people say is, man, I don't normally go to church, but I'd check it out. I'd maybe give a visit. If someone checked this, this is like 85%+ of people when polled who don't regularly go to church say, if someone I know and trusted invited me, I'd give it a shot. You've got people in your life that this is the be nice to God Sunday, Easter Sunday, where people are like, I really should, or man, I'd be curious, or I've always wondered, but I don't know where to start, and any weirdos, if I Google any place, any weirdos could be there. I kind of need a little confidence that it's gonna be a place that's gonna be safe and helpful and good and beneficial. How would they know unless you tell them? We've put these in your hands, and I'm praying that God would give us deep courage and deep love, compassion for the people in our lives that we love, that we like, that we care about, to invite them. And you'll do that in a very unique way that fits you. Lisa is our tech director, and Lisa and her husband, Jose, are absolutely amazing. And they were sharing the story, and I was like, man, that's so cool. Like, Jose is like the master of all the hobbies. Like, he picks up stuff, and 19 weeks later, he's like a savant at it. I don't know how he does it, but it's amazing. And so he's picked up gardening, and now he's got like tomato plants. And so this is what he did. So he's got his tomato plants, and he made a little card with some Bible verses. And he put a little link to the church website on it and some information. He said, here's something that hopefully, and he gave these tomato plants that he had cultivated, lovingly cultivated. You don't want me doing this because I'll give dead plants to people. That would give the wrong approach, right? But he lovingly cultivated living tomato plants, and he gave them to some of his neighbors with a simple little card that says, hey, I hope you enjoy this. And here's something else that I really enjoy that's made a big impact on me in case you want to check it out. Jose, I love that. I could never do that, but he can. What does it look like for you? Maybe for you it's more structured. Maybe it's more organized. Maybe it's more organic. I'm not sure what it looks like for you to be a bringer, but I know you're created to be one, because you already are in every other sector of your life. When you find something worthwhile, you talk about it. And if I were the devil, I would convince you that, man, you don't want to talk about this thing worthwhile because then people are going to hate you. When does that ever happen? God wants to move in you and through you. Matter of fact, I'd love for every single one of you, if you want to grab your invite cards right now, I just want to pray over them. If we want to be a Book of Acts church in the 21st century, it's every person in every place, which means you're not just by accident at your job. You don't just happen to be with your classmates right now. You're not just by random coincidence in your neighborhood. God has placed you there for a specific reason, to be his witness. And I want to pray over these cards. Lord, these are just pieces of paper in our hand, but we're recognizing in this moment the people that you have in your heart, people that you've created, people that you so love that you sent your son Jesus. And next week we're gonna be talking about it. And it is a weekend where people might say yes to an invite more than any other weekend. And because we love you, and because we love our friends, and we love our coworkers, and we love our neighbors, and we love our classmates, we wanna give you a shot. Lord, I'm asking that right now by your Spirit, you would begin to put specific names and specific faces on our mind that these cards are supposed to go to. Maybe some of them will end up in the hands of cashiers that we have a brief interaction with, at gas pumps that we just happen to meet someone at. But Lord, for some of these are friends that we know and love that we've been praying for. And you've got a good work you prepared in advance. And Lord, we just want to see them get in the room to meet you and encounter you. Lord, would you stir our hearts with your love, compassion, and boldness? Would you move? Would you work? 1 Peter 3 says it like this. It says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. It says, always be ready to share this hope. For some of us in this room, you're exploring God, faith, and spirituality. We're thrilled that you're here exploring. This is the best place to explore faith. Keep coming back. Jump into a microchurch. Meet a community of people that would love to help you on your journey, because we're all on a journey. But for some of you, you've experienced this. And the good news, the gospel of Jesus, once experienced, is meant to be shared. Many of you know this already, but we sort of accidentally planted a church in Guyana over the pandemic. It was accidental on our parts. It was providential on God's part. And it's been amazing over the last several years. We've got an incredible group in Guyana. And so I was there with a few members of our team a couple weeks ago, and I shared a story. Remember, we talked about prayer, and I shared a story about believing God for a miraculous healing for a friend that I met there who had paralysis on half of his body. And I'm like, and I prayed, and nothing happened. Like, what a weird story. I'm just trying to give us some confidence. We don't know what God's going to do. Keep swinging the bat. But we paused in service, if you remember. And I was like, man, and a matter of fact, we're praying right now in the name of Jesus that God would do it, that he would heal your body and restore you. So I got a text this week. He went to service, and he's watching right now. He went to service, and he heard that, and the team in Guyana followed up, and he was like, man, that's cool. They prayed for me. And so one of the girls who helps lead some of our microchurch stuff and our kids stuff in Guyana has just continued to follow up because this is her friend. And she wants to see God move. She says, how do you want me to pray? And she's sharing about the hope of Jesus and what God can do in one's heart, but also what we believe, according to Jesus, he can do in someone's body. And she says, how can I pray? And he says, I want to pray. I believe that God can do this. He doesn't come from a Christian background. This is not, he's like, I believe that Jesus can do this. I want to pray that he would heal me. So this week, we get a text from Michelle, who's there in Guyana right now. She's like, John, he is moving his body in ways he hasn't in 12 years. 12 years! His elbow's starting to move. He's standing there talking. He said, listen, I used to be able to stand for 2 or 3 minutes. Now I can stand for 30. Yeah! This is the God that we serve. I'm saying this stuff because it's real. Like, this isn't some religious thing that we do when we get up here and like, wow, pastor, you're sure, you know, the front area is a splash zone. You're sure passionate and you're spitting on everybody. And wow, you're up. Like, this isn't just something we do because it's my job. I've lived this. Jesus is the truth, and he's kind, and he's good, and he's loving, and he's powerful, and he's real. And when we gather together, he does stuff together that doesn't even happen when we're on our own, because we're two or more gathered, there he is in the midst. Jesus will be here next week. He already told me. VIP. And wherever Jesus shows up, lives can get changed like that forever. God, give us the love to step out of our comfort zones. Jesus, give us the compassion that someone had when they talked to us, that they pushed past their self-consciousness and their insecurity and their selfishness or their pride or whatever was the thing that makes us all a mess sometimes. Help us. This week, God, give us grace to share the hope. The hope that we have, the hope that we found. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And here's what's crazy. Jesus so loved the world that he commissioned and sent you. Will you go? Will you say yes? But I can't do it. Yeah, obviously. But he can. He wants to use you. It's what you're made for. Father, and right now in this moment, in this space, I'm asking that by your Spirit, you would do a work that I could never do. I need you to do it in me. That you'd stir our hearts with genuine love and compassion for people, not just some religious nastiness where we're judging people and we're sharing about some notch on our belt. Lord, that's gross. We reject that. But we also reject the alternative, which is a quote-unquote love that is so weak and self-centered that it won't step out of the comfort zone out of concern for another. Lord, you so love the world that you stepped out of your place of comfort to step into our messy world. And Lord, I'm asking that you would do something in me, that you would do something in us where we so love our world, our workplace, our coworkers, our neighbors, our classmates, that we step out of a place of comfort into the uncomfortable, into the inconvenient, into the unknown. Because just like Peter found, you'd love to meet us in that place. Maybe you're here this morning and you need prayer. You're like, pray with and for people. You're like, that sounds awesome. I would love some prayer. We'd love to pray with you. Absolutely love to pray with you. Maybe it's something for you personally. Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's something workplace. Maybe it's financial, whatever it might be. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you want prayer for boldness, that God would stir your heart with a love for people, with a compassion, with a deep love and concern to be his witness this week. Whatever the case might be, I'm going to ask us now to stand to our feet. And Gabby's going to lead us in a final chorus of worship. But I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come up here. And if you'd like to receive prayer for any of the above, I want to invite you as we sing this final chorus to come forward. And then don't go anywhere, because before I'm going to come back up and I want to pray a commissioning over us and send us out full of blessing and full of his Spirit to be his witnesses this week. Gabby, why don't you lead us? Church, let's worship, sing, "Great are you, Lord."
Great are you, Lord.
Jesus, we worship you. We honor you. Lord, you're the King. And you're our Father. And you've commissioned us to go. You have both the authority to commission us, and because we love you and we trust you, we know that in the center of your will is where we flourish. So Lord, I'm praying over this church family that you would give us deep love and compassion for this world, that our care, love, and concern for others would commission us forward with invitations, with daily prayers. Lord, that we would experience what your word says we were made to experience, that these good works you've prepared in advance for us to walk in, we would walk in them. That just like your word says, he or she who refreshes others, when we step out to love others, encourage others, care for others, we end up experiencing or refreshing ourselves as well. Lord, we agree with your word. We understand why you've called us and commissioned us to be your witnesses. And Lord, we understand how, at least a few simple things. Let us grab a hold of just one of those this week. Maybe all we can do is be a bringer. Like, man, I'm just going to bring someone to Easter next week. Amazing. Maybe it's praying for someone this week. Maybe it's praying with someone this week. Maybe you're going to provide an opportunity to share 15 seconds of what you've done that can open up a larger conversation. Lord, we don't know what it is, but we want to be a part. Would you help us? Church, I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you, that he'd make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, that he'd lift up his countenance on you. It means you would sense his smile, his pleasure, and he'd give you his shalom, shalom, his perfect peace. I pray God would bless you, that he would use you this week in amazing ways, that you would sense the collaboration, the partnership that God's inviting each one of us to, and that we'd celebrate next week in an amazing way. In Jesus' name, amen.